Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallo, hier ist Mona und ich durfte Mae Stevens interviewen. Der Name sagt euch vielleicht noch nichts, aber auf jeden Fall ihr viraler TikTok-Hit If We Ever Broke Up.
If we ever broke up, I'd never be sad. Think about everything I thought we had if we ever broke up.
An dem ist keiner vorbeigekommen die letzten Wochen. Im Interview sprechen wir über ihren Ex-Freund, der sie ja zu diesem Hit inspiriert hat und darüber, dass er sich sehr wohl gemeldet hat, nachdem dieser Hit so viral ging. Und außerdem verrät sie uns, wie wir alle auf TikTok viral gehen können.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I mean, we all love your song. How can you not love your song? And we love your journey because you were literally working in a supermarket before going viral on TikTok. And now you're here. How do you feel? Can you even process it?
No, my life's turned upside down completely.
I mean, can you imagine?
I don't know which way's left or right at the minute. It feels like a dream.
Perfect. It all started with that one video. What made you initially post that video on TikTok? Did you already see potential in it to go viral?
No, I mean, I had the demo sent to me probably a week before I posted that video. It was like a last minute grab for content. Like it's,
really?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's so hard to go viral on TikTok. So it was kind of like, okay, I'll throw on a jumper, I'll throw on some glasses, I'll dance absolutely terribly. And then I posted it and it was like, boom, 7 million overnight.
That's insane. It's insane. And you already said it, like the dance and your glasses, they are already iconic. Didn't you get even a tattoo of your glasses?
I did have one on my finger, but finger tattoos fade.
Yeah.
But I feel like the glasses are pretty much gorilla glued to my head.
Yeah.
Like I can't take them off now.
Yeah, I have the feeling too. Do you have like a whole collection? How many of them do you have?
I have got 42 pairs of glasses. And counting, and counting. I'm going to get some more.
Really? Wow, good. Then that's a whole collection, I would say. Also, the writing process of the song was really quick, I heard you saying in an interview. And at the beginning, it didn't feel like it was your song, like the song belonged to you. Maybe you could take us behind the writing process a little and then tell us what did like change your mind.
I mean, I'm very used to writing like sad songs and heartbreak ballads. So when we started creating the song, it was very left field for me. And then kind of as it went on and I got more into the beat and I really started to get into it. And that's where the kind of the cheekiness of the lyrics came in. And you know, since the song's come out, it's become like something I'm focusing on now. I'm trying to kind of get more into funk and I'm enjoying like hearing my voice in different kind of styles of funk music. But it was just such a fun piece to write. Like we just had a really fun day, messed about, you know, did the vocals, spent 3 hours just messing about before I had to run and get on a plane. It was just a good session.
Wow. That sounds so pure, like just real pure art, like just state of mind, state of art. And then you just, tried it. So did you maybe have the feeling before that making like you have to do some serious like music?
Yeah, I mean, because I'd written that way. I mean, I grew up in the kind of era where Adele was on every billboard. So it was like that was the iconic music to start and to begin writing with. But yeah, I did kind of have this thing for a while where I was like, I'm only going to write heartbreak music. I don't think I can write anything else. And then, you know, when this came about, it was like, well, I've heard my voice in a completely different genre of music. And now this is the kind of thing I want to keep going with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
beautiful. So you allowed yourself to just try it and step in, go in that direction. Beautiful. Looking back now, would you say, or does it feel for you maybe, like this was meant to be? Like, was it the perfect song at the perfect timing for you, like with your art, but also like maybe personally?
It was the perfect storm. Like, it was more of a shock to watch the growth in the posts as I kind of posted each one as it went through, because you always assume when you post on TikTok and that video goes viral, it's just going to be that video. And then to watch my growth, my numbers, the analytics show like it was growing, and the population of people that knew about the song was getting bigger and bigger by the minute. It was something that I could not comprehend at all. Like it doesn't feel like it's my life.
I feel like I'm
in a movie or
watching from the outside.
Yeah,
someone living your life. Yeah,
literally.
I can imagine and I can relate to it. So, but you would say it was the perfect time for you to be ready for this happening?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked for 8 years. Me and my dad spent all day every day trying to create content. And yeah, I think to work for 8 years for something for so long and then to finally have it happen, I was more than ready to you know, become this busy and meet so many people and just do what I love for a living. Yeah. Like, I'm so lucky I get to explore cities and speak to people as a job.
Yeah.
And play music. Like,
wonderful. That sounds great. So between you posting the video and it going viral and the fans like really demanding you to drop that single finally, like some time passed, was it, wanted to put the music out earlier than you could?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it grew fast. And when I was kind of posting the sound, people were starting to get sick of it. So there was a period of time where I stopped posting the sound because I didn't want to annoy anyone. Like, I couldn't have imagined how quick it would gain, you know, that much traction. And so between the time of it coming out and the time of release, I was also in the process of, you know, finding a label and speaking to labels and going through that process. And I couldn't tell anyone at the time. So I was just kind of trying to keep people happy, but at the same time, you know, working on getting a record deal. And then we had to shoot the song out the door like a cannon.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a team run around so quickly and get things done like that.
Nice.
They're really good people.
So nice. And so there were plans also with the single to try to like place it at a record label. Did they reject it actually?
No. Okay. They I obviously, when the video came out about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I had, you know, labels wanting to speak to me. And for me, that was like the point in my life where it just felt like I was in a coma, or that was real, because labels were something that I was aiming for in maybe like, you know, 5-6 years when I'd eventually gain more traction. But yeah, it was a massive thing for me.
Yeah, of course. Wonderful. I maybe just thought they would say like, no, this is maybe not the right song for now. And then they like cut. So two weeks later on, well, it is actually, obviously. And also the song, like, it has a kind of dancey, happy vibe, but I mean, the lyrics are quite emotional. It's about a horrible relationship that you were in when you were a lot younger. Could you tell us a little bit about the lyrics and about the relationship that you were in?
I mean, yeah, I was about 16 years old, and it was just a very horrible relationship, very one-sided on my, you know, my part. And he wasn't the right person. He didn't treat me right. And the song's more about me speaking to myself, you know, when I was younger, and saying, you know, I have the emotional experience and I have the maturity now to know that this isn't right. And it's obviously, it's got a deeper meaning as well of you know, having self-worth and remembering who you are, and knowing if you're in a relationship like that, you know, you're much better than that. But it's a song that allows me to say to people, I've made those bad decisions, you know, I've made the wrong choices. And hopefully it can push people to gain their self-worth and their self-confidence and make better choices.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So written from kind of a retrospective, because were you able to see that when you were in that relationship?
No. I mean, it wasn't until I started to kind of experience a little bit more of life. And also, you know, I was helping my friends through horrible relationships at the exact same time that I was in one without even realizing. I was the agony aunt of the group. So people would always talk to me about that. It wasn't until I was giving my friends the advice that I should have been giving myself that I had to get out of that relationship and move on.
Mm. But that's the point so often, right? You often treat like others better than you treat yourself. And then you like, you give them advices and you like, you push them and you've got their backs, but you don't have your back. And that's the hardest. I see. And of course, we all want to know if you told his father all the shitty things that he did to you. I love this line because yes, that's the thing.
Honestly, I'll let you in a little bit of intel. He was training to be a personal trainer. Now, I wouldn't say I'm model skinny. Honestly, he used to make comments about my weight.
No
way.
And
his family were very, like, in the eyes of his family, he could do no wrong. Like, he was an angel. So for me to call his father and say, do you want to hear what your son said about me and various other people's, you know, bodies and physical structures and all of that stuff, he would have been mortified, and he probably wouldn't have been able to leave the house ever again.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the kind of wench we're speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Good. So, but he didn't reach out to you saying like, put this video down.
Actually, I mean, I didn't know if he'd listen to the song, But I recently had just been told, you know, after all of this had happened and the songs come out, he's been bragging about the fact that he dated me to people because of what's going on at the minute. So it's nice to have a little bit of karma on my side.
It's good. Karma is always good. You already told us that you were successfully posting covers and also your original music on TikTok before. I mean, it's a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you have, like, did you find the key of going viral on TikTok? Do you have the feeling that you now know maybe the algorithm?
I mean, we spent ages trying to figure out, yes. But I know, like, the kind of advice and life hacks to be able to give to people and say, this is kind of how it works and how you got to play the game with TikTok. Mm-hmm. It is literally, yeah, you just got to play the game. It's a popularity contest. And you have got to post like at least 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Hashtags, trending sounds. Like, there's so much that could make it complex, but I could give you one piece of good advice, which is minimum input, maximum output.
Yeah.
That's it, the main thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I keep forgetting this because I'm always like, I can't post it. Maybe it is a story. Like, I will post this as a story on Instagram, but not as a reel. It's not enough for a reel. And then everyone is like, no, that's exactly the thing posted as the real.
Exactly.
Really? Yeah, I have to learn that. So, okay, now I take that advice from you. That's good. Yeah, speaking of TikTok and how it changed your life, how would you say TikTok changed your life? Would you be here without TikTok?
No, not at all. I would be still working at Asda telling people they can't have their discount, you know. I got very, very lucky. TikTok, as much as it is a very overpopulated platform and it's hard, it is also a godsend when it comes to going viral, gaining traction, especially for artists. Like, I know a couple of people that have gone viral from TikTok and are now, you know, successful artists with signed record deals, living their best life. It's such a helpful platform, but it does have its downside.
Yeah, of course. I think, yeah, trying to find the balance, as cliche as that sounds, but yeah, it's about the balance in life. And we also talked about it, that it's super funny because people, of course, they now see you viral video and they were like, okay, she was just popping up and she had the luck that this one video went viral. But what they don't see is, of course, that you've been there before. You are songwriting since you were 12 years old. You spent years editing, making contents, making covers. It's such a young age where, I mean, other teenagers are maybe just enjoying life. I don't know, just having them free time. Can you maybe take us a little bit behind that process and, yeah, what you went through during this 8 years and why you were thinking like, this is going to work and it has to work because this is my dream?
I mean, I had a terrible time at school. I mean, nobody likes the weird kid. The weird kid always gets picked on, and that was always me. Music became like a release button for me. Mm. So I was able to get out all of my emotions, and that's where I found a really big passion for songwriting. And my parents strived to find what me and my brother were good at. We went through multiple clubs, and it wasn't until I played them, you know, this song about a mother wolf and her cubs I'd just written on a scrappy piece of paper that my dad was like, okay, I think we finally found what you're good at. And that's where the grind started. And we did like all the bad gigs, all the gigs in the dark, dingy corner of a pub where no one's listening. We hit open mics, we hit competitions, like anything that was going to be able to get my name even just around the town. I did all the terrible gigs, and that's when kind of content was a very big thing for me, because obviously going through school and having that hard time, especially, you know, on body image, body positivity, you know, the visual side of things, it was very hard for me to put myself out on social media because of that. And I'm always a very closed book anyway. I try to keep things private, but yeah, it was something that I had to come to terms with. And then the grind of posting, you know, 2 to 3 times a day, every day, coming up with new content. And I began compulsively writing in lockdown. Like, I wrote something along the lines of 42 songs in lockdown.
No way.
Where I just spent every day trying to make them better and better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I started to post them on TikTok. My dad was helping me edit everything behind the scenes. We tried every kind of video, every kind of hashtag. Like, my dad spent ages trying to crack the algorithm. And we worked hard. My parents are both ex-soldiers, and they believe that if you want something enough, you go and get it. You have to work for it. And so that's what I've done for the past 8 years. And I know people probably don't see that because of TikTok. Yes. But yeah, it takes a lot to become successful and to, you know, attempt to even gain some traction. So I'm very thankful for my parents for being able to instill that in me.
Lovely, lovely. How did that maybe help you going through all that, really, like going from the basics? How did it help you now maybe making your way into this music industry that isn't always like an easy industry?
I mean, I can certainly take criticism. Like, I don't have to worry about getting upset. If people don't like my music, that's okay. There's loads more. And, you know, there's loads more. Mm-hmm. Loads gets uploaded to Spotify. It's taught me to stay grounded and to stay humble and to remember who you are. Like, I'm never going to be a fancy person. I'm never going to be able to get to grips with that.
Not 200 white roses in the backstage.
Or blue M&Ms. No, I'm good. Just get me a chair. I'm good. That's good. All I need. Yeah, it's taught me to stay grounded, to remember where I came from as well, because I wasn't, you know, gifted this. I worked hard for this, and my family play a big part in that. Mm-hmm. But I don't take things for granted. You know, this could cut off at any point, and I'm taking each day as it comes, because you never know when something's going to drop off. Yeah. And I'm just enjoying it.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's literally what I am. But yeah, I think those are the main things. And also don't spend too much money. You know, that's, I feel like one of the things that I've found really interesting, especially, is like with all of this going on, is that I'm seeing celebrities and they're in mm-hmm. Gucci and Versace, and I like a couple of clothes from a charity shop.
Yeah.
I'm not one for brands or big labels, so
wonderful.
Just to remember who I am.
Wonderful. There are people like taking years and years of therapy to get there where you are right now. That sounds really good. Did you ever, like, at any point had a thought about giving up and saying, no, I'm just gonna be like a normal teenager?
Many times. I mean, the majority of them was obviously going through my teenage years, because I wanted to go out and I wanted to drink and I wanted to party, because when you're a teen, who doesn't?
Yeah. It's also about belonging to the other teenagers, of course. Yeah.
I sacrificed quite a lot of house parties, quite a lot of going out to do this. And now obviously I get to have these parties now where I've got there.
The better parties.
Oh yeah. My mum always said that to me. She went, there'll be better parties if you can get up there.
Yeah.
But there were many times. I mean, you know, especially it's difficult when you're working with a family member and you're in the same house and you're going through those things. And me and my dad clashed heads quite a lot. We're very opinionated people, and I like my side of things and he likes to do it the old fashioned way, you know. Mm-hmm. So we did butt heads quite a lot, but you know, there were some points where we both thought we could just give up. Like, this isn't going to work. Mm. We've had such a bad argument. But in the end, you know, we both were like, no, this is something we're both so passionate about. And if I give up now, I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yeah.
But hey-ho, I didn't give up and I'm still here.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were many times where I could have given up. In fact, I almost gave up a couple of days before I uploaded that post.
Really?
Yeah. I was this close, literally like a hair's length from quitting.
Yeah. Why?
I think I got into a really bad argument with my parents. Mm-hmm. But also I just had a really, really bad day. Nothing had gone right. Somebody had said something and I'd read a comment and I probably shouldn't have. Mm. But yeah, it just felt like this was harder to reach. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it was kind of slipping away from me. Mm. Like I was gaining traction on TikTok and then I wasn't. Yeah, it was just a very big roller coaster. And I was very, very close to quitting. That's why when it came to posting that video, it was like, it's just last minute, I'll put it up.
Yeah. And maybe that's it. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, let it go.
And then it comes
not forcing it, maybe. Yeah, just let it go and then it comes back. Exactly. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps from this. But with everything you're saying, it really is just like, this was so meant to be. It's crazy. You talked about you and your family. How did growing up like this, with having such an enormous support system within your family, what did that teach you maybe that you can relate on now?
I mean, it's obviously their parenting is going to affect my parenting when I'm older, but they just taught me to never give up on something you love. This is why my dad has always said, no, we'll get your chin up. Come on, we'll go and do this. My parents are the most resilient people ever, the most hardworking, kind, generous people ever. Like, I'm very lucky to have a family that, like, they'll take people in, you know, they take my friends in if they need help. If I'm having a bad day, they'll sit down and we'll talk about it. Like, we're such a close-knit family, especially with my brother as well, that it's just taught me to keep the people you love very close. Mm-hmm. But they've also taught me, you know, to respect other people. It doesn't matter what happens or where you are. Like, you always pay people respect. You look after other people and you're kind to people as well. Because I know I'm going into quite a harsh industry, and I get, you know, the press will take up as much as they can. But as long as I'm kind to people and I'm always pleasant, and you always have to be nice to people, you know, I should be okay.
Yeah.
I feel like, they're just really good people. Yeah. I can't really say much more than that.
No, it's just, it comes across that you were just really loved, and that they gave you all the tools that you needed for your life and for this industry and whatever. That feels really, really, or sounds really, really great. How do you separate then family from business? Is that even possible? I mean, you talked about some arguments, but do you have like, no, this is now family time? Do you have like certain business and family times?
We had a bit of a moment, actually. My dad, obviously, like I said, my dad has been my dad for 8 years. Like that, we've had that business relationship and then the slight bit of parenting on the side. Like, it's always been this business relationship. And when I got signed to a label and we brought on my manager, Claudia, he turned around to me and he was like, I can finally be your dad again. And I cried. I cried so much because it's been 8 years since I've had my father properly. You know, we've been in business mode for so long. And then to have him say that and say, I can finally be your dad again. And to have this time now with him where I come home or I've been away and we just talk, or he makes dinner and we'll sit down. And it's nice to have that relationship, especially as an adult with my dad.
Yeah, for sure.
And to finally have that connection back.
Aww.
It's really something that is very special.
Yeah. Oh, chills all over again. So one more question about the piano, because this is, I read that story about you and I was like, wow, this is so inspiring. Tell us about the 110-year-old piano that you were inherited.
It is a beautiful family heirloom that has been passed down through generations and got passed to me when I was 12. It has a very specific sound. Like, I feel like every song I've ever written has been on that piano. You know, it's been played by my grandma, my great-grandma. It's also a very rare piano. It's a brassed piano, which I believe when we checked the numbers, one of very few were made, and we can't find any others. So it's the most precious thing to me. Like, I plan to, when I move houses and stuff, it'll come with me. But yeah, it is priceless.
Yeah,
to have priceless. That and to have the memories that come with it.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But how is it to have this, like, this piano and the whole spirit with this piano? How does that inspire you?
It's just like when you sit down and play. I feel like it's hard to explain this, but anyone who's ever come around my house, there's like an instant magnetic connection to this piano. Like, for example, my photographers come around my house, or any of my friends, and they're immediately drawn to it. You know, it's a historical artifact, but it's so emotionally tied to me because I'd go and spend hours on there after school, after getting, you know, kicked down the stairs, or, you know, I'd had that bad day. So for me, it's my therapy, and to take that away or to not be able to bring that with me would be, well, it'd be horrible.
Yeah,
really.
No, it will be forever yours. It will be forever.
Yeah. Even if I have to seal it in resin, I'll keep it.
Yeah, wonderful. So you had a pretty amazing start to 2023, without a doubt. How can you top that this year? Is there anything that you would like to achieve and that you, of course, can talk about?
I mean, obviously, we've been keeping on the kind of funk line for If We Ever Broke Up. There are some really cool songs. We've literally, like, the demos that we've created at the minute, they're amazing. They're so funky. They're so cool. And hopefully, you know, we can get the next release prepped and ready, because I cannot wait to show you guys these next ones.
Yes, we neither. So is there any, like, is it still in summer? Is it more like winter when it's coming?
All I'll say is it's coming soon. Okay. Like, quite soon.
Okay, I tried.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Das Video und noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.